CliffCentral.com.
Okay, it's Friday, so it's obviously the comedy, what do we call it? The guest comedy podcast. Now, I've got a massive show because to be on a comedy show after Julius Malema, don't you feel like you need a breather, like a little bit of some zing? Am I on? Make my ears work.
And there's pressure as well because you have to be funny now.
No, you don't have to be. What I've realized now with this guest comedy podcast is that I don't actually have to be funny.
Oh, wow.
And I'm going to turn the whole thing around.
Okay.
Because there was so much pressure to be funny. And the voice you're hearing there is someone called Kay. And I think it's just Kay.
It's K-A-Y.
K-A-Y. As long as it's not K-Y because I saw you squeezing in here. But now, what does it say on your shirt there?
It says Napster Entertainment. I work for Napster Entertainment.
Okay.
And we are a comedy entertainment company.
And why Napster? Because remember, Napster was shut down.
No.
Because when I googled Napster, it goes, who are you and why are you asking this? And the FBI landed a helicopter in my garden, and then the CIA came, and then it was a mess.
Wow, it must have been awkward for you.
Very awkward, especially at the point, okay.
So that is Napster with an E-R.
Okay.
This is Napster with an A.
Because it's gangster.
Yeah, he's gangster like that. Okay. So
and Napster is a guy, though.
Yes, he's
okay,
a guy.
So we got a full show, so
yes.
And you guys from Napster Comedy?
Yes.
And it says something, the Christian comedy.
The king of Christian comedy.
Do you know Carvin? Calvin Goldstone?
Yes.
Okay, is he coming? Yes. Is he part of your stuff or is he his own company?
He has his own company. We do know him though.
Okay.
And we have worked together, but we do Christian comedy and we specialize in
We're
going to
get
in
into
King
that because I'll ask you exactly who you are. So with me, Kay from Napster Comedy. And the theme of today's show is kind of like after Julius has spoken to us, we need a break. I've got some. We normally have a beer tasting on our show. We just don't have time for that. I'm telling you now, we don't have time because I've got
in
a surprise.
In the morning,
it's called breakfast beer.
Okay, cool.
We've done it a few times.
Nice.
It's been a hit. It's actually been the only part of the show that I've listened to on my own show. But as we do taste beer. We don't just drink it. We crit it and we talk about taste buds.
Yes.
And things. Because comedy is about taste. Everyone's got different tastes.
Very true. To the palate.
Yes.
To the palate.
And that's something also new to me is the Christian comedy scene. So I'm
awesome.
I need fun. So I know Mark Palmer.
Yes,
was very big into that, and it's very obvious. It's a great market.
Yeah,
and Christians need to laugh. So do Muslims. So do Jews.
Everybody
needs to laugh.
So and it's clean.
I'm thinking it's clean. It's clean comedy, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay, cool. And then that's
exactly
I know. Anton saw Calvin Goldstone in Durban.
Okay.
Recently, and he did it. It's, I didn't realize it was his best last 10 years. Best of.
Wow.
So that's something that I also want to speak about today. We're going to talk about things you didn't know about comedy.
Yes.
Unfortunately, you might hear a voice that isn't with us today. What's our co-host's name? Can't remember.
Alan Committee.
Not Alan Committee.
Eric.
Keep going. Eric Janssen has
Eric
got
Janssen.
Bronchitis.
He has bronchitis.
So he normally does a couple of things. So with the podcast, go to the app store and download our app at Cliff Central, and then
we
you
are
can
there,
get it on
Baba.
Your phone. We are there, Baba.
We are in the internet comedy.
Yeah. And then, as I said, Alan Committee was going to join us, but he's got a voiceover. But the great thing about what I wanted to talk about is his. His work ethic. The guy works. I mean, the caveman.
Yes,
that is a proper show. You do 200 shows. Then he did his own one, Love Actually. Now he's gone overseas with that. He's now in the comedy festival, which is in Cape Town, which runs for almost 3 weeks.
Wow.
The Jive Comedy Festival, which is Eddie Kazar's baby. Now, a lot of the things I'm going to talk about today are how to actually run gigs. So
gigs,
that's
yes.
why I've got you in here.
Yes.
Okay, you're the brains behind. I'm not going to say that Napster hasn't got brains. But I have met him a few times. So you're going to be talking about how
him.
To actually put on events, because a big thing for you was is it 67 minutes?
67 minutes of laughter that we just had.
Okay.
So
we're going to talk about that.
Yeah.
Then normally our friend, Eric Janssen, talks about the Gas Comedy website, which is up and running, the South African stand-up comedy listening comedy website. And you just go to the comedy in your city. You can actually lock off Johannesburg, Cape Town, Durban. The calendar that's on there at the moment is all just every gig. So like tonight there's a Sweetie Darling in Durban. I've got a gig running tonight myself at the Observatory Golf Club at the Clan.
Oh wow.
The Clan.
Okay.
The Clan
at
pub.
The golf club even.
But it's so clever. That's, golf clubs.
Yes.
You want to go to golf clubs. I know you ended up in the churches.
Yes.
The golf is my church.
Oh, is the
So we ended
beautiful.
Up in the golf clubs. So Observatory Golf. And then I figured out, look, church would be the same if you're a smart guy.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a hall.
Yes.
There's normally a sound system and good acoustics because you've got to be preaching. So there's good acoustics.
There's
X.
There's
plus,
good sound
you've
and
got
visuals.
A captive audience.
Mm-hmm.
Good. And then parking's normally good, and security's normally good around the church.
Every time. It is awesome.
So then it's exactly the same thing with golf clubs.
And as well, the presence of the Lord. Oh my goodness, he went there. He went there.
Now listen, I've prayed a few times when I do my gigs. I pray to just have a big hole swallow me up if it's a corporate that isn't working. So don't worry, we all pray when we have to.
Yeah.
So okay, so that's it. Then if you go to the gascomedy.co.za, you can lock off some gigs. Now, the surprise for today is that Orlando Jones is here.
Yes.
And he's doing two shows, Friday and Saturday.
I'm excited about that.
Are you going to go and see?
Yes, I'm going on the 22nd.
That's tonight?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, that's tomorrow.
No, tonight's the 22nd. Sorry, Mr. K.
Ooh.
That's okay. The dates. That's how the calendars work.
Okay. Yep.
So you're going tonight?
Yep.
You just got to change your plans, get a babysitter.
I have to change my plans. I have to.
Okay. Well, the thing is, people don't know anything about this person. And people have said to him, I'm interviewing Orlando Jones. And they said, well, who is he? So I said, well, hang on a minute.
I'm sorry, that's a pretty big deal.
It's massive.
That's
if I just go and Google some stuff and just see.
I love the story.
We're starting in 1990 with TV series.
Wow.
Herman's Head, A Different World.
Mad TV.
He was a staff member on Mad TV. You were five.
I was five.
Exactly. So we're going back to then. Hansway, King of the Hill, voiceover, Sour Grapes, Office Space, the movie, Magnolia. Okay, he's in that. New Jersey Turnpike, Waterproof, The Replacements. Fantastic movie.
The Replacements.
Bedazzled. No one knows about that. Double Tech.
Love that movie with Eddie Griffin.
Eddie Griffin.
Come on, somebody. Eddie Griffin. Yes.
Drumline. He's the teacher. Bernie Mac show, the TV series. He's in this country filming. And that's another thing. We had Julius on before the show.
Yes.
Okay. Obviously, if you're downloading this podcast, you won't
good
have
times.
A clue what we're talking about.
Yeah.
And then we were talking about Madiba, and actually Julius had a great story about Madiba calling him aside. And you often hear these stories that people who have a personal story about Madiba, they'll say when he calls him aside, they always think he's going to give this massive, major pearls of wisdom kind of vibe.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about that because a lot of the show is about Madiba today.
Yes.
And he just said, you know, you can't rule the country and lead us if you're so fat. So he's just a natural, normal guy.
Oh,
and
wow.
I think that's something big for me that I feel a lot of, after Nelson Mandela died, we kind of made him into, like you speak about the presence of God.
Yeah.
And he stated so many times, please, guys, when I'm gone here, I'm just a guy. I had help from thousands of people.
Very true.
Walter Sisulu, Oliver Tambo, and people from everywhere around the country that were also in pain. People
very
died.
True. Yeah.
I managed to stay alive, but I didn't do this by myself. So please don't treat me
like that. And persevere. That's the thing.
And that's why. Mm. So when you come up with your 67 minutes, we're going to talk about that.
Awesome.
But let's just go through some of these things. So we get Orlando Jones. I went to a press conference.
Okay.
And I just noticed that the press asked some weird questions of a Hollywood star. Because he mentioned he wants to buy a house. And then the people said, well, what area are you looking in?
I just got you.
You know, Kempton Park, Edenvale. Where do you live, Kay?
Bloemfontein. You know,
where do you live?
I think Centurion.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you got to the studio. Was there traffic? Let's talk about boring things like that. Traffic?
Not as bad as I thought. It's a Friday.
Okay.
So people were, you know, moseying along.
Okay, good.
Mosey along.
I felt, you know what, the best time to ride on the highway is the school holidays. There's just no one's there.
There's nobody.
So I've got to play a scene from a movie before we interview, before I play the Orlando Jones interview. We're going to talk to you first.
Awesome.
So the show works like this.
Yes.
We play a comedy clip.
Mm-hmm.
And
of
I thought, why not play a comedy clip of Orlando Jones?
Awesome.
Did you do comedy, Kay?
No, I don't do comedy.
What's your background?
I think I'm funny.
Because I like, but, you know, when I come from, I'm a comedian, so I've met the agents and I've met the producers.
Yeah, yeah.
Producers scare me because they're so quiet and normal. I mean,
mm-hmm.
Eddie Kazar does that show. He's the most quietest dude, but I know that in the background what goes into organizing just tonight's comedy gig.
Yeah.
I've got to do sound and lighting and get
there's
someone at
so
the door
much.
And do the things. He's got bigger things. And yours, although you had it at the Goliath Club, which you have a lot of that backing, which gives you at least that set.
Yeah.
But you've still got to come in there and take over.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're going to talk about that. And I think not only just for comedians, I think that kind of advice goes for any event organizer or planning.
Very true.
Even if you're
true.
Just planning your...
Your wedding.
Your daughter's 21st.
Yeah. Anything.
Because I can MC that.
There is... Please, because
so I want you to start thinking while I play this Orlando Jones clip. This is actually his stand-up comedy, and this is what people don't realize. The guy's a producer, a writer. He's come here, and you know what he said recently? He said one of his favorite film that he's been in so far, and this is this mini-series now that he's done, the Madiba series with Lawrence Fishburne.
Yes.
He said it has been, not only just on that, but just to be in that space and to act as this person.
And to learn about...
Yeah, you're not pretending. It's not a script that's been written.
The history, yeah.
Yeah, that was real.
Very true.
So I'm going to, this has nothing to do with Madiba. This is actually quite an old clip. But it does put in
what are you playing us, Dave?
I'm playing
what
you, Orlando Jones. He's talking about Kim Kardashian.
Awesome. Let's listen to this.
I'm probably the only one in this audience that actually has a child. I have a kid at home. Someone I'm trying to f*** up. It's a beautiful thing, having a child. I used to be out in the clubs having a great time. And now I go to the club and I look out and I see girls doing stuff and I think of my daughter. She has ruined my good time. Completely ruined. There's a moment where you'll be in a hospital room at some point later on. They'll be doing something to your girl over there that you don't want to ever fucking see. And you'll be holding your daughter in your hands and you'll be like, oh my God. Oh my God. You're so beautiful. Oh my God. Someone's gonna try and fuck my daughter. And here's what's worse. It could be Ellen DeGeneres or Ray J. You don't know which way it's gonna fucking go. You're not really sure. I kind of hope it would be Ellen DeGeneres, personally. You know, at least until she's like out of high school, so I don't have to deal with the teen pregnancy thing, but fucking Ray J? Kim Kardashian is like my worst nightmare. She has made being a whore cool. How do you talk your daughter out of doing a sex tape with f***ing Kim Kardashian running around? I mean, let's just think about it for a moment. She is literally the Steve Jobs of black dick. She's taking that shit to a whole nother level. Kanye, Reggie Bush, Nick Cannon, Diddy, I honestly understand that she's Armenian, but as hard as the coochie's working, it's got to be Mexican. I'm just saying. Es de mio. Kim, please. Kim, I need a breather. No more NFL, no more NBA. Kim, please. I need a nice white boy, Kim, please. Just for a moment, and maybe it's just me, but I feel confident that the train on her wedding dress is the longest white thing she has ever had. Is it just me? These are the fears that keep me up at night now that I have a daughter. I have a plan, though. My plan is very simple. I'm gonna wait until the guy, the Ray J dude, comes over to my house and he's like, Mr. Jones, I'm here to pick up your daughter. Come on in, young man, no problem. Here, hold on 1 second, please. Catch this. Mr. Jones, why did you just throw me a bullet? Well, don't worry about that. Just bring my daughter back just like she is right now. Or I guarantee you, you won't catch the next one, motherfucker. I promise you that. Why are you running?
So now you see, that is the most, if you see the clip, I mean, he's totally relaxed. That is a guy that's been doing this for a long time.
You can tell. It just comes naturally to him. And you gotta love that about comedy, about guys like
that
you.
That was a very un-Christian comedy set there.
No, listen, the Lord works in mysterious ways.
He's an upstanding dude. I mean, the work that he's done here while he was here, and that's one of the other things. He zipped off to a place. He went to a school. He's obviously also doing Nelson Mandela stuff. He went to a school where a lot of parents had died of AIDS, and they're looking after these kids.
Wow.
He went in and is doing more stuff. So when
How
we phoned him,
here,
he's only here for the 2 days. Plus, that special is a Comedy Central special that's being filmed.
Yes.
So it's like proper the real deal. Then I'm going to play his interview just now. It was incredible. He phoned in. He was. I didn't realize that you could just phone a Hollywood star and say, hey, I want to talk to you about some stuff on my podcast. We went to a press conference and we chatted.
Okay.
And he said, yeah, phone me. Phone me whenever you like. I'm like, all right.
How did you get his number? Just like that?
You phone the PR company. And, okay. And this is the interview. We chatted for about 15 minutes.
Nice.
The thing is, what I wanted to say to you, like, firstly, thank you for being on, talking to my little podcast. We have 7 listeners. And
eight.
I just want you to stop bugging me and phoning me all the time and asking me to be on my podcast, man. Gee.
No problem. I'm happy to do it.
But bro, I was quite nervous. I thought, I've had the podcast for 2 weeks and they said interview like a Hollywood star. And then I'm thinking, I went to this press conference and I listened to some of the stupidest questions I've ever heard in my life.
Truly.
You were so pro. You were such a pro.
You know, people, I often find that, I know as a fan myself, sometimes when you get yourself into situations, you get excited, what you had planned goes out of your head.
Exactly.
So I always keep that in mind sometimes at press conferences.
Because so I was waiting for someone to say, what's your favorite color? Or like, how do you cut your, when you cut your toenails, do you start on the left outside toe and then work inwards?
You know what? I'm not gonna diss the press at the conference. I thought they were lovely, and so, and certainly a couple of questions felt like repetitive, but you know, par for the course.
Oh, no, it was wonderful. It was so informal and relaxed.
Yes, okay. Yes. I find that you know, I mean, it's a room, it's a gathering where we're supposed to be communicating with each other.
That's
so
it. That's it.
You know, I try and remove it from my side. I try and remove as much bullshit as I can.
And also, I love that girl, man. I want her to work for me. I've never seen someone so adamant, like, taste it. Taste the drink.
Oh, no, she was on the case. She was like, brilliant. You got to taste this. She was actually fantastic. I saw her today.
I'm going to headhunt her for any product. I'm going to make up a product. And that girl will sell it.
She's great. Okay. She's persistent and efficient. That's my homie right there.
So, more fire. So my podcast is called The Gas Comedy Podcast, and I want to get back to the comedy of it. So just tell me about the stand-up and laugh show and what it is and how you got here. So we'll start with the actual comedy of it.
Sure. So I guess the beginnings of it were talking about doing a comedy special. I hadn't done one. It's been a conversation that's been going on in my career for years. Like, hey, you should do a stand-up comedy special. And then that leads you to the next thing is, well, where do you do it? Like, you're going to do it in D.C., you're going to do it in L.A., you're going to do it wherever. You know, I've always felt a real connection to South Africa, and I was just here filming Madiba. So I said, why don't we do it in South Africa?
Brilliant.
And everybody immediately went, you're out of your mind.
hasn't South Africa closed down? Didn't they close the country down after that president thing?
By the way, damn near. But yeah, so I, you know, and, you know, Comedy Central graciously was like, oh, yes, we would love to do that. And the group in Africa was very excited about it. And I was like, you know, I kind of want to, the U.S. and SA are really similar in terms of culture, in terms of history. And I just sort of felt like, wow, it would be really interesting to do it, you know, in a place where it's closer to, shall we say, you know, the Holocaust that happened in this country, the apartheid.
Exactly.
But when you look at what's happening in the States, it doesn't feel like we're nearly as far away from from ours as we claim to be. So,
exactly. Especially you coming at such a time. I mean, there's massive.
Yeah, I mean,
it seems like 2016,
exactly.
The world's gone crazy.
Exactly right. And I thought, man, 2016, the world's gone crazy. There's all this conversation going on. But if I'm going to have the conversation about, you know, at least from my perspective, comedically, about race, about, you know, obviously what my experience is with race, with my family, with my life, with my career, if I'm going to go on stage and talk about that, it would be really cool to do it, you know, in Africa. And with that, we endeavored to launch my one man show here in here in Joburg.
So you're doing two shows, Friday 22nd? And
no, actually,
we're going to
do one. Our mission really was to sort of make sure that we covered our bases with the shooting of it all.
Okay.
But it looks like we've successfully done that technically by just getting enough cameras to be able to handle it in one. So we're going to do one show. And that'll be tomorrow night, which I'm super excited about. And then I take my black ass back to American Gods.
You know what? Something you said, you mentioned so many things in the press conference. You looking to buying property here. You know, so many guys come here. I don't know if Kevin Hart is buying a house, but it's so nice to hear you speak like that. Just the actors who come here and they say, oh, it's the motherland. It's the motherland. And they kiss the floor. And then a day later, they leave because they got hijacked or something. I found that you really do believe. South Africa's got a cultural and very creative space for you to do things. Are you a producer? Are you going to be doing something?
Obviously, I mean, I've been producing content for 30 years, so that's not, that part of my career is in no way new. Okay. And to do it on this continent, obviously, is an exciting opportunity. You know, I've produced stuff, and outside of the country before, in terms of outside of the U.S., and obviously I've filmed here a bunch, but I've never really sort of endeavored to sit here and really do what we accomplished on Madiba, which was to have South African stars along with some American and some British stars with a production that was really done out of South Africa with South Africans who
you mentioned,
back and forth between here in Toronto.
97% of the cast and crew and everyone, all South African, doing a world-class production.
Well, that's exciting, because when you think about the way global content is made, that's one of the ways that it's done. You really sort of invite the players to the party, and Madiba successfully did that, and I really tip my hat to Kwaku Mandela and, Lance, Samuels, who I met 20 years ago. Jesus. This is crazy. So I came here in 1997, dude. I'm shooting this movie called Dust Till Dawn, right? Dust Till Dawn prequel we did here. The title was The Hangman's Daughter. So I come here with Quentin Tarantino and Robert Rodriguez. Sure. And they're talking about shooting in South Africa and how awesome it's going to be. And they're going to shoot the Dust Till Dawn sequel and prequel. So I'm doing the prequel, and I meet this AD on the set. His name is Lance Samuels. Cool guy. We're having a great time. We're running around in Cape Town. So cut to 2016. I show up back here, and I'm hired by Lance Samuels, who is owner of Out of Africa Productions.
So either it's a serendipitous, weird, universal thing, or South Africa's really small and only has three ADs.
Dude, it blew me away that I'm suddenly finding myself back with one of the three ADs.
I don't think people know that. Like, Dust Till Dawn is one of my favorite movies purely because of that lady dancing with a snake.
Exactly.
Summer.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I found myself back here with somebody who I met here 20 years ago, who obviously has a company here that works here and in Canada, of all places. And then the next place I go shoot is Toronto, where he is again. So
that's so important, because so many comedians are trying to be Trevor Noah here, and you've got to tell them it sometimes takes 20 years for an idea to spark and to bloom.
Yes.
Not to Orlando Jones, to Jones. I said Orlando Jones. You're going to have to leave that. Sorry, I've got a call coming through while I'm recording you. But you ever phoned Orlando Bloom and told him to change his name to Eric or Jeff or something?
Say that again?
phone Orlando Bloom and tell him to change his name. What the fuck?
Listen, I've had that conversation with him. I'm like, it can't be both of us, okay? And I
there
had
can be
first.
Only one.
There can be only one. So, and you're British, so you don't really need this name. Like, can't you do Ian or something?
Exactly.
So,
and then
we chuckle about it. We talk about it. We see each other occasionally, and he'll say, how often have people called you me today? And I'm like, probably as often as people called you me. He goes, absolutely not. I get it worse than you do.
Shame,
I go, that's not true. I go,
see, Jones is a nicer English name. Hello, I'm Orlando Jones. Hello.
Right, Orlando Jones, exactly. But the craziness, dude, is that I get mistook for so many other people. That's the only reason it's worse for him.
Well, we're going to intro you when I do this, because this is supposed to be pre-recorded for tomorrow morning. But just exactly what it says on your site there. I'm not this guy. I'm not this guy. I'm not this guy. I'm several people that you think I'm not.
Exactly.
The little guy from
makes me laugh.
What's it, the Chris Rock special? What was that TV show? The little guy.
Oh, Everybody Hates Chris.
He's grown up, and you guys should be in a movie together. It's incredible. He's older now, and he's actually got.
It really is.
He could be a kid. You don't know. And then your kids. How old is she? Four, five.
She turns six today.
Yeah, me and I what I call older dads. We really are chilled. I'm going through my second childhood. I feel so young and fresh. My guy's seven.
Oh, that's awesome.
It is. It's incredible. I see younger dads stressing, and like older dads kind of don't give a shit. They're like, yeah, man, let's get it on. Let's go. Let's go see Dora the Explorer.
It's amazing, man. Exactly. You know what? I am deeply in love. My daughter is amazing. My wife is awesome. We have a second kid on the way right now. So it's an exciting time, man. But,
and you're excited? Do you get away from the family? Is it a rest for you, or is it quite stressful? You've got to be back in. You're going to Toronto.
You know, I have to say, I don't enjoy being away from them. But with this type of trip where, you know, there's a lot of press and a lot of work, I definitely don't like also having them here when, you know, what am I going to do? Take them around to press conferences and interviews with me? So it sucks for them. So I don't want to do that. So when I'm with them, I really like to spend time. I like to hang with them. I enjoy
them. It's so good to hear. Like, so many rock stars and things are saying, please let my wife be on the other bus. Put the groupies on number three. Now, exactly, you said something about authenticity, and that's the one word that I think is so important for young comics, is find out who you are. Don't be the next Trevor Noah. Don't be the next Orlando Jones. Be you. And it's very difficult for these young guys to find that voice. And yet, when someone picks it up, it just train it. Just find it. Have you got a comedy club that you go to that you practice? Have you got a comedy club that you run or that you deeply involved in?
I don't run a comedy club. Due to my traveling, I go to a lot of different ones. I don't, it's really not sort of a one place that I go to. I mean, I'm often just focused on sort of sorting out, you know, what I want to say, like what's the point of this? Like, and what's important to me in it? Like what in this is making me laugh or making me chuckle or what, how did I get here in the first place? Is generally sort of the approach.
Do you ever think about the fact that your daughter's gonna, and her friends at school are going to be downloading those clips of you? Does it ever cross your mind? Like, I know my kids at school and they say, hey, your dad's a chameleon, they call me. And I know they're going to find a clip on YouTube where I'm talking either about him or his teacher or his mom. It's going to happen.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Look, I fully expect that it's going to happen. I fully expect that that some people will be happy about that and others won't.
The teachers will. Well, you're going to be some PTA. What are those meetings? Mr. Jones, please.
Well, also, you know how comedy is, too. There's always an element of truth to it and an element of fiction to it as well. So, you know, because you're storytelling and you're, you know, embellishing other points and suppressing others. So I'm sure that there'll be somebody who's mad at me, but I don't really care at the end of the day. The point is
you paid for schooling.
Laugh. Yeah, exactly.
And then something else you said, your favorite film, they said to you, what's the favorite thing you've been in? What's your best thing? And you mentioned it's the Madiba series. What is it called? Is it a series? Is it a movie?
It's a 6-hour event series.
Okay. So that's, it's, and that's 6 coming hours. In, that's on a Netflix, YouTube kind of, is it on all the networks or is it on a, who's it?
No, absolutely. Well, no content in that realm. This production, I mean, are we talking about domestically? Because as you know, things get distributed differently in different territories.
Okay.
So
okay.
I would say domestically, I believe it'll originally air on BET in the States.
Okay.
But 2017 is when it's out. And then obviously where it airs here, I'm not okay. really sure.
Will there be
fairly certain there's a Netflix component to it as well, because I think it is going there, yeah.
And are you finished? Are you wrapped and done? Everyone's...
Yeah, we've been wrapped for a while. We've been wrapped for about
2-3 weeks.
Lawrence
Fishburne is a serious cat. He just seems like such a serious dude.
Lawrence? No, Lawrence is hilarious.
Okay. Because, I mean, I'm thinking of Apocalypse Now kind of scenes, you know?
Yes, but he was, you know, to be fair, he was 14 years old. 14, 15
No one knows
years
that,
old.
Hey? He was totally illegal.
So, yeah, you know, I mean, his first movie was Cornbread Earl and Me, I think, when he was 3 or 4.
Wow.
So, you know, Lawrence is, you know, in my mind, Lawrence, and I think anybody's mind, Lawrence is really an icon. He's one of the most gifted and celebrated actors the world has really sort of encountered. And he's been a mentor and a close friend of mine for, you know, 15 years since we met, like super funny guy, really kind and generous guy, and truly, truly a patron of the arts, and really one of those people who focuses his attention on nurturing other people. So I would say everything that I'm doing, to me, I kind of see him as a part of, because part of the blueprint for a lot, some of the things I'm doing is a blueprint that I developed and worked on and sort of was mentored in many ways through by Lawrence.
So are you happy? Have you worked with him before? Is this kind of like a...
Yeah. We worked together. This, I think, is our third or fourth time working together. So we did Fences together, me and him and Angela Bassett and Wendell Pierce did that play together. We did Biker Boys together. And what else did we do together? We did something else together. I can't remember.
When I can't help organize. Whenever I order an ice cream, I always think of Evolution. Just have no.
Oh, sure. Yeah,
that's
yeah,
the
yeah.
best thing in the world. And I do it for myself. And the ice cream people always look at me like I'm really mad. And my kids are like, Dad, stop it now. You're not going to put ice cream in your ass.
It doesn't matter what flavor.
I don't care what flavor. So, Orlando, I don't know what to say. I could talk to you the whole day because you've got things to do. Where are you going, by the way? I have to ask you South African questions. Have you eaten boerewors, some sheep's brains? Have you done those things?
You know, I'm the vegan vegetarian, so none of
I want the brains. Happened. The brains aren't meat. The brains are sort of vegetarian. Or...
Oh, no, sir. absolutely not.
Mapani worms are vegetarian.
What is?
It's called a Mapani worm. It's a high-protein caterpillar.
Oh, yes. I know exactly what it is. I went to a place. No animals. I'm vegan. And by the way, worms are meat. That's not vegetarian.
If they turn into butterflies while you're chewing. So, are you off to you're in Bromfontein now. Are you doing some comedy gigs while you're here, besides the big one?
No, definitely not. Okay. Only the one-man show. I'm actually I'm headed to.
And you're also philanthropy. You're doing some work as well with Mandela Day, and you're actually out there giving of yourself.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, we got to spend some time at a wonderful orphanage yesterday, Kaya, and really spent some time with a lot of those kids who have, you know, come out of difficult situations in the township, many of which obviously are battling parents who have AIDS and what have you. That's so just a really beautiful organization. I got to spend a couple hours there yesterday and hang with the kids and the organizers and make hot dogs. It was really awesome. Best Fantastic. Part of my day yesterday.
That is exactly what I want to tell people as well. It's not only are you here to, you're not Hollywood star, you're here to just give of yourself. And I think it's excellent. So thanks for taking the time. I really do appreciate it.
Not at all, man. I've been always welcomed with open arms here.
And
so
I know you've done
honest,
a few interviews already. I listened to you on 5FM. I listened to you on Highfeld as well with Darren. And I just thought, let me ask you something else. I can't think of
Oh,
anything.
Yeah. Dude, I just finished a television show about 20 minutes before I got on the phone with you. Oh, so okay, definitely.
Excellent. Well, enjoy your show. And who else you got? You got Simi Arif and you've got... I think you've got Dylan Oliphant as well on there.
Yes, okay. Yes.
They've been two guys who come to the podcast Dylan. Quite regularly, so great guys as well.
Dude, they're funny guys. Funny. Great guy. I mean, I'm just excited, honestly, as much as I'm excited for myself, I'm excited for people to see them as well because they're just really talented.
Well, there's so many
hilarious.
Guys come here that don't use the local talent as their opening act. In fact, they don't want an opening act. I think kudos to you for doing that. That's classy. That's classy.
Hey man, you know, let's
yin yang.
All right, so
that was really cool.
We could have actually spoken the whole day. You
that,
just realized
that was really really cool.
And that's my first interview of anyone in the human world.
So, you did really well.
The phone Oprah. I mean, I even asked him
composed,
to look under his chair.
You were composed.
Thanks, Kate.
You had everything in line. You had. Well done.
There should
well
be done. Another voice on our radio station podcast thing coming up now. This is weird. So we go from a guy who's a Hollywood star. He's done movies with everyone in the world. He's doing things with Madiba. He's acting with Lawrence Fishburne. And then on hold from Zimbabwe, Rhodesia.
Hey, my friend.
is Carl there?
Yay, what's up?
Is that you?
Yeah, that's me. This is me from Zimbabwe.
It's not like an actor playing Carl. It's not. That isn't Orlando Jones, is it?
Do you know what? In recent days in Zimbabwe, that is possible. That could have been someone from the
country. Because y'all all look
the
same. Y'all look the same.
And then talking to you guys.
So I want to explain what this is now. A couple of weeks ago, I told people we're going to have Carl, Joshua, and Kubu on. And he's going to be doing...
Carl.
Did you remember that? Do you listen to my podcast, Kay?
No. I've worked with Carl before.
Oh, have you? Oh, by the way, I've got Kay here in the studio as well. Carl, say hi.
Hey, what's up? How are you doing? You good?
I'm good and you, brother.
Thank you so much, guys, for giving me the opportunity to come to South Africa.
Blah,
the last
blah, blah,
time.
Blah, blah, blah. Thank you for the opportunity. This isn't your. Listen, this isn't like a school play.
No, Carl,
Carl, we love you, man.
One laugh with us.
No, that's what he normally gets for his shows.
And he was awesome. He ripped it apart. It was at the Lyric.
You know what
theater.
I love about Carl? He's got such a great backing entourage.
Yeah.
Because
you
will never see Carl walking into the room.
No.
First, someone comes in, mm-hmm. they sort of look around the room and see that it's almost like they sweep the room. And I don't mean sweep with a broom. I mean, they're actually sweeping for bugs or mines. Then his wife comes in and shakes your hand and says, it's so good to meet you. I've seen you. And she knows you as well because she's Googled you.
Yeah, yeah.
So she knows. And then Carl comes in with a bottle of water and he's just cool. He's got sunglasses on. And he's
with a leather jacket
on. And I feel, you know what it is? That you become what you want to be.
Yes.
Like, you know, dress for the job you want.
Yes, exactly.
And that is, this Carl person. Yeah. And he does social media classes in Zimbabwe. Am I right? You have a social media school.
No, classes. We have to keep like 7 professions just to survive in Zim.
Hey, listen, it's just one of those things. This is part of, you know what? You are on the part of the show called Industrious Bastards. That's what you were supposed to be on the 8th of July when we did the first show, which our Skype didn't work, and we apologize that the third largest economy in Africa, Johannesburg, couldn't get Skype to work. So you were sitting at your computer there with your socks
Skype
on.
Us when we had a national shutdown, which was
that's
like
right.
the biggest national protest.
Yeah. Isn't that scary that the president not only has a button, like obviously Reagan used to have the button for the bombs that aimed at Russia, but your president's got like a Twitter and a WhatsApp button in his study.
I think it's the Wi-Fi router that's in the office. It's got a red button and just like disables
gives,
the Wi-Fi
gives,
or just
gives
puts Facebook
the
only,
honorable,
whatever.
The honorable
I don't know. That's what I think in my head.
That he's got what? He's got a button just for the router.
I actually think so because, do you know what? There's one incident I had at a show I did in Zimbabwe where a couple of people from the national broadcaster came with a microphone, just mic'd me up and recorded this show and then just disappeared.
That's how they do it.
And I always imagine
very
that
soon
one time
start
when the president retires, he's probably going to release a DVD that says Robert Mugabe presents Carl Joshua Mube live. I'm
oh,
sure
my word.
We're going to see that one day.
Listen, there's nothing. Now, talking about that, we're going to speak about your thing quickly and then we're going to go back to Kay. So we've got a couple of minutes left. Your
okay,
record
cool.
attempt, explain, just go for it. Tell us how you came about it. Like, well, who sits in their room? I know you hustle, man. You are the most
industrious
guy.
Yeah, so I was trying to find gigs, and I wasn't getting any gigs that particular month. So I applied on the Guinness Book of Records website, looking for a comedy record.
You know what?
I
like to see
and
the progression
money.
Of that. Like, you're sitting in your lounge. I don't have any gigs. Like, normally you go to like a porn website or something, or go to Times Live or something.
Because exactly,
I've
been writing
you
to all
the comedy
clubs.
Guinness Book
I'd written to Parker's. I'd written to Goliath Comedy Club. I'd written to everyone, and I'm looking for gigs. And the Guinness Book of Records had this record, like a 10-year-old record that was set by an Australian for most comedy gigs in 7 days. And I saw it said 30 gigs, and I'm like, geez, I've done more gigs in Zim. Just trying to
now listen,
you know, get
Carl, let's talk about this.
To go to South Africa.
This
so.
Is what people need to know about you. Here's a guy who said in the sentence, I had no gigs. Then the very second lady goes, I can do 30. You're a dreamer. I love it. That is the Zimbabwean way.
No, this is the weird thing because, like, in order to do a South African comedy gig schedule of 7 days, let's say like 7 gigs in South Africa, I kind of have to do 20 gigs in Zimbabwe to raise the money to do that.
Okay.
Wow.
So
that's the comedy, what I call the comedy
exactly
exchange
what
rate.
I have to do.
20 to 1.
Yeah. So for me, having to do like 20 gigs in Zimbabwe in order to set a world record, that just seemed like child's play. Well, yeah. at the okay. time. And then,
so now
and
you,
then
looked at the, you look at the Guinness Record site and you apply.
Yeah, and then I applied. So about 6 months later, they wrote back to me and they said, sure, you can attempt the record between this particular period, which is the 17th of August to the 23rd. And they sent me a set of conditions. So I have to perform in a place that has done comedy before. It has to be to
give me
audience.
Those dates again. When are they?
Sorry, 17th of August
okay,
to the 23rd
coming up
of
now.
August.
Are you nervous?
I am. I'm crapping my pants, mainly because I thought I could just do 35 gigs, right? But then Guinness said people have to buy tickets.
Okay.
that's
listen, there's nothing wrong with that. That's the capitalist way of doing things. I've stopped doing free gigs.
Yeah. So I wanted to. I thought I could just do it by just doing like a benefit
in your
gigs
lounge. Hey, I did a gig in my lounge. My mom was there.
Yeah. So unfortunately, it has to be professional gigs. I have to get paid from the gigs. I have to tickets have to be on sale. There have to be reviews of the
that's
performances.
Like an audit.
Yeah, and so the performances have to be 30 minutes, 30-minute performances, and on average, I have to do 5 gigs a day to be able to smash this record.
I'm sorry, Carl. 5 gigs a day.
5 gigs a day.
Can
on
I
the
tell
one
you
day, on the one day, I'm actually doing 9 gigs. So
wow.
How do you mean? You start in the morning. Are they corporate based? Have you gone to companies or have you gone to comedy clubs and they'll be running a matinee in the same club?
So what I've had to do, I've had to start gigs in churches. I've had to start gigs in cinemas. I've had to start. So I've like literally opened up comedy spaces in this particular period of time where comedy is actually now starting to happen in those places.
Well, that's interesting,
so,
because today's show is about actually organizing comedy gigs. And that's why we spoke to Kay, because he put together the 67 minutes for Madiba. And that's exactly what people don't understand, is that you've got to go in there. There's so much admin in this thing that half the time you're not actually being funny. You're sitting in meetings.
That's much.
Exactly. And people think it's just easy. People think, well, you know what, Zimbabwe could do with a comedy night every single day of the week. And people don't understand that this is not possible. Like, yes, we don't have enough comics in Zimbabwe. No.
So hang on, you say you don't have enough comics. And I've heard of a great gig in Zimbabwe where John Flismas has gone, a couple of other guys have gone. I think Robbie Collins might have gone. But is that a corporate gig? The guy actually pays in dollars or something? It's quite a... Is that just a monthly thing?
So what's difficult about Zimbabwe is that you have to do the big theater gigs, because it costs close to... The government taxes you so much, you have to pay close to like 10,000 or more rands just to bring in an act. That's besides their fee. And this is just a fee that goes to the tax authority, it goes to the National Arts Council. So if we wanted to just do club gigs and open up a club circuit, because I think Zimbabwe is the best place to do a club circuit where South African comics can come and actually perform like...
And they
club
can stay for a week, so they can get to do the Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and they can be on the plane
on
Monday.
And so what the authorities in Zimbabwe don't get is that there's a difference between a bar gig and a theater gig. So now we're forced to have to do these big theater gigs, which are really expensive to do. And
Kay wants to say something, Carl.
Is that by law?
It's these weird regulations. So the government's really good at just sitting and throwing these little regulations whenever they feel like it. Like
that sticker
right
you have to have on your car.
There's rumors that they might ban the flag being used in Zimbabwe, but that's a rumor. But I'm not really sure if this is really going on.
What, their own flag?
And because there's protests that have been going where people have been using the flag as, you know, as
you're
a
not
way gonna of
get into trouble for this
government.
Podcast, are you? I mean, is this not the... I don't want to be the last time I speak to you.
Yeah.
But you can do one of your gigs from the holding cell.
Absolutely. That might be potentially be a venue, considering the type of material I've been performing lately.
And you'll have an audience.
But Carl, I'm gonna speak to Kay now about it. We've got a few minutes left. So I'm just incredibly... I think we're going to have you on again, because once you've done... I think I want to speak to you on the Friday, one of the Fridays in that 17th to 23 August. On your way to one of the gigs, we're going to have a quick phone call to you just to see how it's going. Because that is huge. A Zimbabwean may be the holder of a Guinness World Record. Are there any other Zimbabweans?
I beg your pardon?
Are there any other Zims that have a Guinness
record? There's a couple of things that should be records. Obviously the president's term should be a record.
I'm sure that's a record.
Our president's
I think you guys can jump. You guys are good at jumping those fences, man.
And they've done so many big rallies with millions of people that have come out to protest against the people who are protesting about not having jobs. So
that's
a record. That should be a record.
Yeah, they should have been at work.
So unemployment records, we've got like our currency should be a record.
Hey, half of our rugby team are Zimbabwean. The South African rugby team are mostly Zimbabwean guys.
Oh yeah, exactly. We've got the most number of Zimbabweans in a national team of that another country.
The most national team of another country. Stay on the Skype. Are you in your underpants, by the way?
No, I put on some jeans today.
Thank you. Thanks for dressing up.
Yeah. No, because my bitch just gave birth to like six little puppies yesterday. So I've been playing.
I've met your wife. I think that's rude to speak about her like that.
Ooh, okay.
So I'm really upset because we've got this beautiful chow chow, and then she kind of had sex with the mongrel. So now
So do you need to get a license for all the dogs and pay tax?
We have to do that.
Wow,
we'd have to do that.
Carl, but I'm proud of you, man. You're going to do this thing. So stay on the line there with your bitches in your hose. You know what I was going to ask you? I was going to say, so what's the time there in Zimbabwe? Is there like a time difference?
Sometimes.
What time is it there, hey, Carl?
So we must have our own time difference sometimes.
What time is there? It's 1986. The revolution is strong with you.
I know. We're back.
But you know what? I don't think people realize to be a comedian in Zimbabwe or any country that has a revolutionary spirit, it's very difficult because your stuff can be taken the wrong way.
Yeah,
you really are making people laugh. And you're saying to them, hey, guys, let's look at this.
Everything's taken the wrong way.
Everything.
I can't tweet anymore because I end up in newspaper articles because
they shut that down.
I've said something, you know.
But I mean, look, I want you to come back here again on when you've done your record and you've got a t-shirt that says, I broke a Guinness World Record and all I got was this lousy t-shirt.
Lousy t-shirt. Apparently, that's what they give you. They give you a lousy t-shirt.
You should get a bottle of Guinness.
But I know, now, right?
Back to Kay. You can stay on the line and you can chirp in as well. Kay, organizing the 67 Mins.
Yes.
Where do you, how do you start? You go about it in what way? Who will your acts? What's the first thing you do?
So the first thing you do is you need to get permission from the Nelson Mandela Children's Hospital Trust first. So we got that, and we have a contract.
Do you have a background in law or contracts or anything or HR or something?
I have a background. I used to work at Eskom once upon a time.
Yeah, so your background's quite dark.
Yeah.
You get a background in candles.
And
see, Carl's laughing because he understands electricity. In Zimbabwe, they rub balloons on their heads and then they get static.
And then get static.
And then you do your tumble dryer works on static. So yes. Permission.
Then after that, you need to decide actually if you're going to do one show or five shows and where you're going to do it.
Okay.
So we were going to do it somewhere else first, and then we spoke to the Goliath. Okay. What family?
The Goliath clan.
Yeah,
the Goliath family. Enterprises.
And they said, hey, why don't you guys come and do it at our place? Okay. So we said, okay, cool. We're going to do it for 5 nights. It was from last week Thursday until Monday.
So when you say 67 minutes, you had that as a name.
Yes.
But the show didn't last for 67 minutes. Did the show last for exactly? Because I know some of those guys you have in there can talk shit for hours.
No. The comedians had a timer.
5 minutes.
So each comic had about 8 minutes, 10 minutes.
So that's the mechanics of it. And then do you get involved in the PR of it?
Yes. From PR to tickets.
Did you make some money? Does it all go to the thing? Because this is your salary. This is what you work.
Every single cent literally goes to the hospital trust. Okay. We're trying to build a huge hospital.
Brilliant.
We went there a few weeks ago. It's going to be opened on in December. And it's a beautiful facility. And
what are your costs? I mean, you got to pay. Do you pay for the venue?
We got the venue for free.
Okay, good.
Which was highly favorable.
I can see people don't see what Kay just put his hands together in like a praying motion.
It was highly favorable. We were so lucky. There are running costs because we would as well like to give like each comic just like
And it's up to them if they want to take it or not. I think that's very commendable.
Just say thank you.
So many people, this is what I want to talk about, charity events. I've done 18 charity events the last 3 months. I haven't paid my bond, but I feel that it's all just going to come back.
Yeah.
But some of the charities said to me, listen, you are good at what you do. This is an art. This is a thing that you do. We're going to offer you a fee. It's a really small fee. Please take it.
Yeah.
And then on the day, you know what I do? When the auctions come around, there's a bottle of wine or something, I take my fee and I buy the wine.
Oh, beautiful. Beautiful.
So I end up with no money and drunk in the parking lot.
Do you sell it after to make a profit?
Do you sell it after?
No, I sign it.
No, I'm just checking.
I can forge all the Goliath signatures.
Nice.
So I sign the bottle of wine and then I sell it back to them.
Yeah, nice. And
then who are the comedians that you used? The same for the all nights?
We had 34 comedians.
Holy moly. That's more than the whole of Zimbabwe's comedy industry.
We had from Robbie Collins to Joe Parker to the Napster himself to Jason Goliath.
Napster himself. Yeah, that's actually what Napster you have to call himself. Him, hey?
Yes. That is.
What's his real name?
Napoleon Masinga.
Okay.
I said, I'm sorry.
You know what?
I'm sorry.
I would be that. I would rather be Napoleon Masinga. Like,
you've just
like
shattered
Fresh.
The Napster in my head right now.
It is.
Napoleon.
But
yes.
Like Fresh, I've been Fresh and Farm is Tato. Am I right?
Yes.
That's such a cool name.
I will repeat that name again. Napoleon Masinga.
Live tonight. 5 nights only.
AKA The Napster.
Okay, so then you got tons of 35 comics?
Yeah, 35
and
comics.
Tell me how the success of it. Like, do you have to audit that money?
We had a great success. In fact, on Saturday, we were actually trending on Twitter. We were beaten by the U Spectacular. Almost got it. But the U Spectacular.
Listen, you can't mess with the U Spectacular.
You can't.
Do they have a magazine in Zimbabwe that's similar to U Magazine? Or is it just they're not allowed to tell anyone what anyone's doing?
Yeah, no, well, it's a bit difficult. Like, a lot of the publications are mostly going to write about the president and nothing else. So,
the
magazine
is always going to
be about
him
the
magazine.
Politics. So, there's no room for us.
Yeah.
I want to make a magazine called Them.
They
magazine.
They magazine.
Because, you know, they say.
They,
they say, yes.
And then you so put good. That in every month. It's you so just good. Go, oh, you know what they say? They say you can get AIDS from toilet seats.
Yeah, that's what they say. Who's they?
That's what they say, yeah.
Who's
so
they?
Now, the success of that, the money, do you have to pay a tax on it? How does charity stuff work? Are you registered? Because you're not a charity. You're a comedy organizer.
Yeah. So, like
charities
I said,
and churches are tax-free.
Yes, they are.
You could have done
but
it through that.
We are a tax company.
Ah.
Yes.
VAT registered.
So, VAT registered company.
Damn, man, I wish I was smart like you young
so,
cats.
So, each and every single cent literally goes to the trust.
Where's the hospital?
It's in Parktown.
Fantastic.
No, it's in Parktown, and we had like a grand tour of it. And
cost you a grand?
No. We had a tour of it.
I know, I've been to the Grand. It's lovely.
I've never been there before.
No, me neither.
okay,
so that, yeah, what you're doing is, this is... I wish we had more time to discuss these things because Orlando Jones was speaking about doing stuff while he was here. You have raised this money and it's an idea. You know what the thing is?
So we
the comedy is the vehicle.
Yes.
But the guys want to do it. I don't think anyone said no. If you phone them and say,
nobody
you want to be in this
no.
thing, you
I
never
mean,
phone me.
It was a beautiful... I don't have your number, Dave.
Ask me if I want to do
looking
it.
For it.
Ask
I
me,
looking
Dave,
for
do you
want
to do 67 minutes for Nelson Mandela next year? Ask me, go.
Dave, do you want to do 67 minutes for Mandela next year?
No.
Okay, that's awkward now.
you can ask me now. You
ask,
can ask
Carl,
me
he's
now.
On the line. He's sitting in his jeans with his bitches.
Hi, Carl.
Yeah, hey, what's up? How are you doing?
I'm good, and you?
Is this how black guys talk to each other?
Listen,
I thought you had some gangster talk. Well,
would you like to do 67 minutes from there next year?
Do I get a visa? Do I get
oh
a
my work word! Now look now.
Yeah, how much do I get? Can I get a? Is there eats at the backstage? Is there snacks?
Can I become a citizen? Can I be like the Beast? If that's cool, I'll do it. For
you
free.
Are asking
I'll
for a lot, huh?
But you know what, Carl? We'll organize it.
But you know what? For Mandela, we can do anything. Anything is possible.
We put our minds to
anything.
It.
Anything is possible.
So what else have you got in the pipeline? Because I think what a lot of times we sit back when you go, I've done this thing.
Yeah.
Go on that platform that you've built.
Yes.
I'm not saying have a charity events for the rest of your life.
No,
but
no.
Take the best of those comics and go on tour. And Nels Spreit's got a comedy circuit.
So what we're thinking about for next year is to actually do like a city tour for the whole month. We'll do each weekend. We'll do like a big show in each city.
Okay. But what are you talking? East London, Port Elizabeth, Mpumalanga. You're going Limpopo.
Whatever we can do, man.
So I've got to shut you down, Kay, but I want you back. And then let's bring Napster with you, the actual comedian. And then I'm going to close up with this actual clip from the movie Evolution. Carl, you can go now as well.
Okay, cool.
Say goodbye to everyone and say, I'm Carl, Josh and Kumi, and I listen to the Gas Comedy Podcast in my underpants. Say that. Go.
Hey, what's up? My name is Carl Joshua Ngube, and I listen to the Gas Comedy Podcast in my underpants.
With my bitches.
With my bitches in the lounge. That's how I do it. Boom.
We're going to close up with this. This is the actual scene from Evolution where Orlando Jones has an insect up his ass.
Good job.
Cheers,
Pat. Get this goddamn thing out of me!
You're going to be okay, Harry. Cut him open. Let's get this thing.
Cut me open? That goes your Christmas gift, Judas.
All right, moving down his leg.
What do we do?
We might have to amputate.
Bones off.
Whoa, Doc! Don't take the leg! Don't let him take my leg.
Is there anything else you can do? He thinks he's an athlete.
Yeah.
Wait, Dr. Luck.
It's heading for his testicles.
Take it! Take it! Take the leg!
Wait.
No.
It's going the other way.
All right, give me some forceps. I might be able to catch it in his colon.
How are you going in?
Rectally.
I'll get the lubricant.
There's no time for lubricant.
There's always time for lubricant!
All right, flip him.
Go.
Okay, here we go.
We gotta try to relax, buddy.
Right, he's gonna be okay.
I'll shove this gurney up your ass. See if you relax, Ira.
Cheek spreader.
All right. I'm going in.
No!
Hey, don't clench. Don't clench.
You're so brave. You're so brave.
A little more.
No more!
A little deeper.
No! Deeper!
Squeeze my hand. Squeeze it.
Almost there.
Open
breathe.
Up. Open up.
Breathe.
Open up.
Breathe. Breathe.
I'm breathing.
Almost there.
You're there.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it's over. It's over.
Oh. Just died.
Don't you ever do that again!
Oh, you should have seen the size of that thing he had inside. It was like this, man. You took it like a man.
You're
like
all right. You're all right. You did great. Can I get you anything? Do you need anything?
Hmm? Ice cream. I'd like an ice cream, please.
What flavor?
It doesn't matter. It's for my ass. Baby, come on.
Cliff Central. The revolution. I've got something important to tell you. CliffCentral.com.